for them so we could so I
Love
can get the car.
Radio.
The world is a vampire. That's a dream.
Secret destroyer.
Hold you up to the flame. And why do I get for my pain? A trait desire. And I.
Welcome to another edition of iMac with your host, me, McCorley Matthew, and my co-host, William Willie Boy Ramo, on the other line. As usual, talk about entertainment, news, sports, pop culture, whatever else is on our minds, we'll pretty much discuss. And if you guys want to call in and share any feedback or opinions, the phone number to call is 347-308-8626. Again, that's 347-308-8626. So, Saturday night, December 7th, first week of December, getting closer to Christmas. Will, how's it going, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good, man. I'm feeling 100%, man. Can't say the same 2 weeks ago. Because, you know, 2 weeks ago I was battling the flu. So horrible. But, you know, this past week has been great. You know, I feel 100% recovered. I'm very active, energetic. You know, I feel can't be better, man. Just in time for the Christmas holiday coming up in several weeks here, but feel good.
That's awesome.
Can't complain, man. And I'm planning to get the flu shot either this upcoming week or next week because, you know, you got to cover your bases. You know, I was telling him that I had the flu, and I was saying that, you know, I'm thinking about getting the flu shot. And then he was saying that, getting the flu shot is not going to do anything because you already had it. And then I'm trying to educate him. I'm telling him, listen, the flu vaccine, it's a quadrivalent vaccine. It covers 4 strains of the flu. So the strain I had, you know, okay, I had 1 strain, but what about the 3 other strains, you know? Still got to protect myself from the other types of flus out there. So that's what the vaccine is for. So I was trying to educate him on the flu because I don't think he's ever had the flu shot before or knows much about it. So I'm educating him to tell him, you know, that the flu protects against these 4 different strains, you know. Even if you had it before, you know, yes, your body does create antibodies to protect you from it, you know. But the flu mutates every year. So, you know, you pretty much have to get the flu shot every year to protect against new strains of the virus, you know. So I got to protect myself from the different strains that's out there because I don't want to get sick again, you know, because a couple weeks ago it was not good, man. I was in bed, in pain. You wouldn't have recognized me if you saw me 2 weeks ago. I was a mess. You know, luckily I recovered. You know, I'm good now. But the flu's no joke, man. People die from that. Millions of people die from it every year. So you got to go out there and get your flu shot, man. Or at least prevent yourself from getting the flu. Wash your hands, you know. Stay away from people who could give you the flu or cold, you know. So, yeah, just be careful out there. So I'm thinking about getting a flu shot from Walgreens this upcoming week or next week. One of my coworkers got it, and she said, you know, she got it. You know, it was just a slight pinch. With the needle, and yeah, she did feel a little sick the first day, but after that, you know, it's all good. So some people might feel sick when they first get it, or you might feel a headache, but after that, I mean, you're good. You know, it's worth the shot. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. But you know, right now I'm 100%. You know, I was watching some live PD on A&E, and I was eating these limoncello dark chocolates that I bought from this from the Lot Less store. Do you know the Lot Less closeout stores in Manhattan? Have you seen them? Have you heard of them?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm assuming it's less than, I don't know, $5 or so. I don't know. So the
Lot Less, like, I passed by them. I've never been inside one until this past week. But my coworkers were raving about it, you know, because I was saying, you know, I have a lot of family members, so I'm going to have to go holiday shopping. So they recommended going there instead of buying from Amazon. So I went there because it's a few blocks from my job. So I'm right near it. So I went there. Man, they have, like, toys, book bags, all types of stuff that you could find, like, at Walgreens or CVS or Rite Aid or even Target, you know. But these stuff, they have for a bargain, at a bargain price. And the reason they have it at a bargain price because they're a closeout store, so they buy their stuff from, you know, at a cheap price, kind of like Walmart does. And, you know, some stuff are imported from China, you know, like the 99 cent store does. But, you know, some of the stuff are really good. You know, they have a lot of toys that, you know, you could give to a 5-year-old and, you know, they're not going to notice the difference. You know, it might not be a G.I. Joe, you know, it might be a G.I. Josh, you know, a ripoff, but, you know, it's still a good-looking toy, you know? And the prices are around like $2, $3, you know? I bought these chocolates for around $2. You'd probably find this at Walgreens for about $5, you know? Yeah. I saved $3 at that place. So it's, they got some bargain prices, man. I recommend it. You know, I don't know if there's many locations outside of, because I know there's about 10 or so in the New York metro area. So I don't know if there's any other locations in other states, but if you're in New York, you're holiday shopping at a lot less store. It's going to save you a lot of money. So my 2 cents on that. But yeah, man, you've been watching Mandalorian? You caught up?
Watching which one? Oh, the Mandalorian. Oh, yeah.
You
I fell asleep while I was watching the last one, but yeah.
Okay.
I know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, it's I saw the fifth episode today, actually. Really good. You know, right now, man, I'd say probably, you know, that's my cup of tea right now. You know, it's the most entertaining show right now that I can think of. You know, you don't have Game of Thrones anymore, so not many shows left to watch that are entertaining. But this show is very entertaining. If you love watching The Mandalorian, you know, and his bounty hunting adventures. And Baby Yoda, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of theories about Baby Yoda that I've been seeing on the internet. And we've discussed this a little bit, too, where some people think it's a clone of Yoda. Some people think it's Yoda's son, even. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of theories circulating. So I wanted to play a clip real quick. So on some of the theories that's out there on this Baby Yoda. And I'll give you my theory on what I think on Baby Yoda on The Mandalorian. So. Here it is.
The Mandalorian might be barely halfway through its inaugural season, but that hasn't stopped Baby Yoda from becoming the subject of intense internet speculation. We've run across a couple of theories that have us contemplatively stroking our chins and saying, fascinating this is. Something to this there could be. These are the most intriguing of them all. If there's one thing we can say with reasonable certainty about Yoda species, which George Lucas famously insisted not be named, it's that they're pretty rare. Other than Yoda and now the so-called Baby Yoda, we've only ever seen one, Yaddle, a female of the species who was shown to be a member of the Jedi High Council in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. The fact that all three of these critters are Force users is provocative in and of itself, which we'll discuss more in a moment. But many fans have quite reasonably wondered if Baby Yoda could actually be Yoda's son, an idea which we find to be unlikely. The thing about the Yoda secret love child theory, which is a combination of words we never thought we'd say, is that it would take a serious leap of logic to make it fit with the events of the original trilogy. Sure, Baby Yoda is 50 years old, and therefore would have been around when Yoda was alive. The Mandalorian, remember, takes place 5 years after the events of those films. It's conceivable that Yoda could have sent his wee offspring away to protect him, as was done with the infants Luke and Leia before the original trilogy's events. But it's a bit of a stretch to buy that the Jedi Master would never mention the tot to Luke, not even on his deathbed. Now, we find it more likely that there's a different, though just as direct, connection to Yoda. That Baby Yoda is a clone of the late Jedi Master. This theory is lent credence by the fact that in The Mandalorian's third episode, the client's employee, Dr. Pershing, was seen to be wearing a patch with an insignia suspiciously similar to that worn by the many, many clones of Jango Fett, seen in Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. It sure seems like that fact has to be setting up something. But if Baby Yoda himself isn't a clone, perhaps it's setting up something else.
This is what was causing all the fuss?
Other than the fact that there aren't a whole lot of them, there's something else we feel comfortable inferring about Yoda's species. They appear to be natural Force users. In The Mandalorian's second episode, Baby Yoda levitated a ferocious mudhorn the size of a bus. Sure, it took a lot out of him, but the point is that we're pretty sure he wasn't taught this ability. The question then is, just how rare is this species? Hey, here's another one. If they were so rare as to be, say, on the verge of extinction, doesn't it seem likely that several parties on both sides of the light side dark side divide would have an interest in preserving them? One fan theory states that Baby Yoda is in fact the last of his kind, and that he's not a clone, but rather, the client's interest in the little guy is to clone him. This theory is bolstered by a line the client spits at the hapless Dr. Pershing in The Mandalorian's third episode, as Mando eavesdrops on the conversation in advance of his daring rescue of Baby Yoda. Extract the necessary material and be done with it. Pershing then replies that someone, it's not crystal clear who, quote, explicitly ordered us to bring it back alive, which of course raises a whole new set of questions, the most obvious being, who is he referring to? Unless that conversation is a total red herring, we find the clone theory to be pretty credible, but there might also be something else going on here. Stay with us here, because this theory is a bit silly, even if it sounds pretty Star-worthy on paper.
Good chair, good chair. Nice lumbar support. Great view of utter blackness.
If Baby Yoda isn't a clone, then what kind of material would the client be extracting, and for what purpose? Well, we know that Yoda had an insanely high midichlorian count, so it stands to reason that even if Baby Yoda is only loosely related to the late Jedi Master, the little guy's count is probably in the same range. His genetic material then, perhaps even his blood, might be of use to a Force-sensitive being whose connection to the Force has been lost or diminished, or who is very near death, or both. Okay, so you probably know who we're talking about. Is it possible that the unknown party who ordered the client to bring Baby Yoda back alive is none other than Emperor Palpatine, the very same big bad who is going to be returning to vex our heroes in Rise of Skywalker? Could the little tyke in fact be the key to his big comeback? It sure is a compelling theory, but frankly, we'll be shocked if it's true. Not because it doesn't make narrative sense. It'd be awesome for The Mandalorian to tie into the Rise of Skywalker in such a crazy fashion. We just don't think there's any way that the two productions could have synced up well enough to make any crossover possible, let alone one that would be so important to the movie's narrative. Having said that, it's not outside the realm of possibility. We know, thanks to director Colin Trevorrow, that J.J. Abrams had the idea to bring Palpatine back into the Skywalker saga sometime after September 2017, which is when Trevorrow departed the project. Disney CEO Bob Iger announced that The Mandalorian was in development in November of that year, and Jon Favreau was introduced as the series writer and showrunner in March 2018. Favreau didn't waste any time getting to work. By May of that year, he told multiple outlets that half of the scripts for the first season of The Mandalorian had been completed. This means that sometime between the fall of 2017 and the spring of 2018, Favreau and Abrams would have to have gotten together and hammered out all of the shared story elements of their respective projects. Then they would have needed to remain in contact, making sure that neither of them was stepping on the other's toes, all while keeping the whole thing a total secret. Again, this wouldn't have been impossible, but it sure would have been difficult, and nobody would know this better than Favreau, who directed the first two Iron Man movies and has appeared as Happy Hogan in the films of the intricately connected Marvel Cinematic Universe ever since. We're going to go ahead and say that Baby Yoda is not likely to factor into the story of Rise of Skywalker at all. Check out one of our newest videos right here. Plus, even more Looper videos about Star Wars are coming soon. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit the bell so you don't miss a single one.
So, all those theories are great, but my theory on Baby Yoda is I think Baby Yoda is an implant. I think he's not part of the Jedi's. And he was cloned. He has Yoda's DNA. And he's a clone that is going to attack the Mandalorian soon. That's what I think. I think that force that we think that he has, that's all been cloned from Yoda's DNA. But I think this is an evil baby that's going to turn on the Mandalorian very soon. That's what I think. What do you think about that theory, Will?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a clone.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it would be nice.
I think it's an evil baby, man. Soon that baby's gonna, like, do some evil stuff. Watch.
Might even been cloned by Emperor Palpatine, like, from the end of episode 3 when he battled Emperor Palpatine and maybe he bled a little bit that we don't know, and he cloned him that way.
Exactly. Yeah, that could be great. Yeah, that could be a theory. Because I think this baby is gonna have a big role in this Mandalorian. I don't think the baby look innocent right now, but I think it's some shit's gonna pop off.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. I think he's he's meant to be evil, you know.
Yeah.
But right now he's not programmed to turn evil. Kind of like the clone troopers. They appear to be, you know, friends of the Jedi. But once Order 66, you know, was activated, they start slaughtering the Jedi. So I think it's similar to that.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Exactly. But The Mandalorian is a great show, man. It is. I wish they could upload all the damn episodes instead of making us wait every week, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then again, it leaves you in anticipation of what's coming up next week.
Yeah, they want to do it the old school way.
Yeah. Disney finally did something good with Star Wars.
Yeah, they did. Hopefully J.J. Abrams can continue it with this trilogy, you know, and not ruin all the other movies like the previous film, The Last Jedi, did. But yeah, man, Mandalorian, man, they gave them new life. They gave Star Wars life again, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great series, you know. I don't know how this upcoming Star Wars movie is going to be, you know, near the Christmas holiday, but right now, Mandalorian, man, it's definitely uplifted the Star Wars universe.
That Star Wars universe was dead.
Yeah.
Dead as the Emperor, but now, I guess in the same year, now they're both supposedly alive or back somehow, resurrected or somehow.
And you don't even have to be a Star Wars fan to even watch this series. I mean, you could be someone who's just into action or sci-fi and just watch it, you know, because it's not really it's a Star Wars series, but it's not, you know, you don't have any connection to, like, any of the Star Wars characters, you know? So you could watch this as a non-fan, you know, and enjoy it.
Exactly. Because it takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And as of right now, there aren't any, you know, key members from the Star Wars, you know, canon universe from the movies or the films.
Right.
Except at the end of the fifth episode, the last episode, they kind of teased that, I don't know, well, I'm not going to spoil the thing, but I don't know if you realize in the end, there was someone who looked like they died, and there was a mysterious person was walking. There's a theory going out to who it is. I don't know if I should spoil who people think it might be, or should I do that, or should I just
You should wait off. You should hold off on that.
All right.
Yeah.
So apparently, people are thinking it's a memorable character that's approaching, hence why they didn't show the person's face. They just show the person's boots walking into, you know, to observe what happened.
Wow.
But
that's something.
I'll hold off on it, but
apparently
it's a very memorable character from the past.
That's going to be great.
I'll leave it at that.
That's going to be great to see. Yeah, man, I'm loving this series. And you guys, if you haven't watched it yet, man, I don't know what you're waiting for.
Yeah, man, definitely got to check that out, man. It's a good show. Can't wait to see the next episode, for sure.
Exactly. Have you been you've been following this America's Got Talent, Gabrielle Union thing?
I mean, I heard, you know, basically her and Julianne Hough, you know, Dancing with the Stars fame. They were judges on the show, and, you know, they got ousted.
Right.
And plus Gabrielle Union didn't like a joke that Jay Leno told that she found very racist and offensive.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, the Gabrielle Union, she was a judge on America's Got Talent last year, and then she they let her go. But she said that the culture there was toxic. You know, people, she says Simon Cowell would smoke indoors, and she got a bronchial infection from that. She said that you know, producers commented on her hair, saying that it was too black, I guess. And, yeah, she says she was offended by a joke Jay Leno made about an Asian performer, you know. So she met with NBC. NBC sat down with her about, you know, these claims, and NBC says they're going to launch an investigation into America's Got Talent, you know, to see if these claims were true. So, you know, let's see what the results are, you know. I haven't watched America's Got Talent since Nick Cannon was on there, hosting.
You know,
and Howard Stern was when Howard Stern was the judge on there also. So it's been like, you know, a few years probably.
I know.
Since our last watch.
Yeah, that's why before this controversy, I was surprised that Sharon Osbourne and
Oh yeah, she was the judge on that too. I forgot about that.
Scary Spice in on the show, and that they were replaced by the two aforementioned women. I'm like,
right?
What? I didn't even know they were replaced by them. So.
Yeah, she was on there for a while. But yeah, I haven't watched it in a while, so I don't know what the hell's going on. But I didn't even know Jay Leno was a judge on America's Got Talent.
Yeah, apparently he joined with the ladies this year.
Well, we'll see what comes out of that investigation. Moving on, Justin Timberlake was in some hot water these last few weeks, where pictures surfaced of him and actress Alicia Wainwright. They were holding hands. They're sitting down holding hands. And I guess they're doing a movie together in New Orleans. And when the picture surfaced, you didn't hear anything from Justin on it. You know, his camp pretty much denied anything happened. But I guess because there's so much gossip and all these stories and rumors, Justin had to release a statement and apologize, saying, you know, he had a lapse of judgment. He was drunk that night. That's why he was holding Alicia's hands, and nothing happened between them. But he apologized to his family, his wife, and kids, you know, for this lapse of judgment. Pretty much he apologized because he got caught.
Uh-huh.
You know? Pretty much why he apologized. I mean, come on. If those pictures didn't surface of him holding, you know, this chick's hands, you know, you wouldn't have gotten an apology or a statement like that. You know, cry me a river.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
too.
Yeah. So, I think he's apologizing right now because, you know, his wife is probably grilling him and saying, why were you holding the bitch's hands for? You know, what's that about?
She said, and if you don't apologize, I'm gonna say bye bye bye.
Yeah, man. Well, this Alicia Wainwright, I did some research on her, man. She is fine.
Yeah,
I've seen her in something before this controversy. I find out that she's half Jamaican and half Haitian. Her father is from Jamaica, and I think her mother is from Haiti.
Wow, I didn't know
something. Yeah, actually, no, it's the opposite. Her mother's from Jamaica and her father's from Haiti.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know she was black for sure. I didn't know she had Haitian ties to her.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because of that, I'm making her this month's baby of the month. So she is this month's baby of the month.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You didn't have to wait until the end of the show.
You didn't have to wait, man. Not only is she on home record, but she's half Haitian. Like, yeah, sign me up. You know?
Yep.
Babe of the month. And I went on his Instagram and you know, I look at her pictures. She has some hot pictures on there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just enter her name on the Instagram and you'll find her, and she's hot. 30 years old. You know, cute girl, curly hair. My type. Can you blame Justin?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
she's
fine. No, that's still no excuse.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, what he did was, you know, but, you know, when you're tempted by a fine girl like that, I mean, I can't blame him for being tempted, you know. Yes, I blame him for, you know, holding hands for and possibly cheating on his wife, but that girl's fine. That's all I gotta say. That girl is fine. But yeah, so he's apologizing, you know. Hopefully his kids and his wife forgives him. And now he could go on, you know, with his life. But that's going to be weird, him going back on set and finishing the movie with Alicia, you know. It's going to be kind of awkward now. You know, I don't know if they have kissing scenes in the movie or whatever, but...
Come on, you know they're going to have that. And this was going to be the interest, you know.
Probably.
For sure they're going to have that.
Yeah, it could be, you know. But yeah, I just thought that story was kind of weird, you know.
But Rainwriter's not like a Haitian name. Rainwriter is more so... So when I think of Rainwright, I think of Adam Rainwright in 2006 against my new manager, Beltran, you know?
Yeah.
I think of, I hear the name Rainwright.
Maybe it's her mother's name. I mean, her mother's Jamaican, so.
Could be, yeah.
Maybe she got it from her mother, I guess. I don't know.
That's true.
But, yeah, she's the baby of the month for December.
Mm-hmm.
Another crazy story I saw, this guy used to play for the Jets, Terrell Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former quarterback. You know, he played for a number of teams in the NFL, Buffalo Bills, Jets, Redskins, Browns, Jacksonville. Jacksonville recently, before he was waived after a hamstring injury. But he was arrested for a dispute that happened between him and a female companion. The girl, who's hot, by the way, she ended up stabbing him during this dispute. And he got arrested along with her. You know, you would assume that if you get stabbed, the only person going to be arrested is the one doing the stabbing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she got arrested as well. He got arrested as well for a misdemeanor charge. And she's being charged for attempted homicide and aggravated assault. I thought that was a crazy story. I don't know what the hell happened, but it seems like may have been a lot of drinking and some disagreements and arguments going on that night. But you got to watch out for those hot girls, man. Maybe sometimes those hot girls be the craziest bitches. I've seen it first. You know, some of these hot girls, they're, you know, they could be divas and crazy. So you got to be careful with them. You know, when she goes down and you get to argue with them, you know, they could turn from hot to crazy real quick. Be careful, dudes.
That's a turn off.
Well, their hotness isn't a turn off.
Nope.
Once they start acting crazy and being a diva, yeah.
Nope.
But it is kind of a turn on, though, sometimes when you have, like, a crazy chick. You know, you just want to fuck the shit out of her and... It's like, make her stop, you know? Like, bitch, like, you better stop, you know? I don't know, there's kind of a, like, a love-hate relationship with crazy chicks. Hey, that's just my opinion, so. So but sticking with sports for a while here, your Mets, man, they might have a new owner, billionaire owner. Steve Cohen, who wants to buy a majority stake in the Mets. Right now, I think he has, originally they're saying that he wanted to buy 8% stake in the Mets. Now, a new report saying that he, you know, it's probably going to be 50% where the Wilpons will stay on and not leave, you know, but I guess Steve Cohen would have some power and some financial responsibility. I mean, the dude is a billionaire, but the dude is kind of sketchy, especially with the companies he's owned. Back in 2013, the SAC Management Companies, which is a hedge fund operated by the Mets, by Mets owner Steve Cohen, his company agreed to pay $1.8 billion to resolve insider trading and money laundering charges. So this guy has had a bit of a... Madoff-ish ways, you know? So Mets got to be careful. because they're already in one scandal. If this dude in another scandal, they don't want that. So, Mets got to be careful with this move. But the Mets right now, they could use this guy. He has a lot of money. He could use that money to improve the Mets. But then again, I mean, we've seen with the Knicks, having a lot of money doesn't mean anything, you know? The Knicks are the most valuable franchise in the NBA. They have a billion-dollar owner, and look where they are. They just fired their coach, and they still suck. Like, you know. So at the end of the day, money doesn't mean anything. It's the executive decisions that you make, you know?
Right.
So, but we'll see, you know. We'll see if this could save the Mets, you know. I mean, I don't know what kind of baseball experience this guy has. It just seems like he's all about money, so I don't know. I mean, what do you think? You're a Mets fan. What do you think? Do you want this dude as, you know, majority owner of the Mets?
Let me think. Daniel Bryan, I know you're being kidnapped by the Fiend right now. But let me see. Do I want Steve Cohen, a billionaire Mets fan who's willing to spend the money and not pinch pennies like the Wilpon? Do I want you to run the Mets if this deal goes through, if MLB and these owners allow him to come, if he agrees to the deal with the Wilpons? Do I want him to be the next majority owner of the Mets? Yes! Yes! Yes!
But, you know, but how do we know if he's gonna if they're going to allow him to spend that money on the team, you know? Because the Wilpons right now, we read the article. They've lost $120 million the last 2 years.
Yes.
And right now, they don't even have money to, like, spend on, like, top free agents, I heard.
Right. But
you know?
If this deal does go through, he's apparently going to get over 50% of the ownership, even up to 80%. Mm.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't go up to the 80% up until year five, he's automatically going to get over 50% of the ownership,
yeah.
Which hopefully that should translate that even though the Wilpons would technically supposedly be the figureheads of being in charge for the next 5 years, he would automatically take charge and possibly spend the money, which I hope that's the case, and he go after like a Rendon or somebody like that, you know, a starter, you know, you know, of an ilk of Garrett Cole, but I think, you know, he's going to go to you guys, of course. Somebody like that on that. Or at the very minimum, sign Rick Porcello, if they're not going to go after the big fish like Cole or Strasburg or even Ryu, who I'm surprised people are sleeping on him, you know, him being the ERA winner.
Yeah.
Because that move looks like a Yankee move right there, you know. He could be like a Matsui, a Hideki Matsui, but you know, a Korean pitcher. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because
the Yankees love those international moves, having a star, you know, from a different country, especially a guy who has success in the big leagues already.
Yeah.
And you know, bring him to the Yankees. I'm surprised Yankees. I would not be surprised if Yankees go after him. You know, if or and they get either Garrett Cole or Strasburg, but you know, knowing the Yankees, they're probably gonna get both. Like your boy TC said.
Well, you know, back to the Mets here, and Steve Cohen. You know, the Mets have been very cautious about paying the luxury tax. You know, that's that's one of the reasons why they haven't spent, you know,
of course,
money.
Yeah.
And they could still be very cautious if this guy becomes the majority owner. You know, because, you know, he could do some risky moves where he just spends money and throws it at some free agents that you think might be worth it, but it's really not, you know, and then the Mets are stuck with paying, you know, a boatload of money in luxury tax, you know, so more money doesn't equal better team. You know, we've seen them in Yankee teams during the 2010s, you know, when Yankees would go after, like, top free agents, and then they fell in the playoffs, you know? So, You got to get someone also that can make smart moves. You know, not just throw money at people. You know?
That's very true. Apparently this guy is, you know, very competitive. He's worth $9.2 billion, and he has apparently, you know, he has that desire to make the Mets into a major league team. Spending wise, you know, alongside the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, you know, or you could even throw the Angels in that mix, because Angels have been known to spend the money from time to time as well.
Yeah.
But, the Phillies. The Phillies right now, they're the one that's making the biggest noise right now.
Yeah.
In the offseason. So, I mean, the Phillies are making moves that, I wanted them to make. From the manager all the way down to, you know, them signing Wheeler and pursuing Rendon and Strasburg. I mean, these guys, the Phillies are not playing. All the teams in the National League East, except for the Mets, have made, you know, major moves.
Yeah.
You know?
But, we'll see if this move goes down with the Mets getting Steve Cohen. I mean,
I sure hope so, man, because nothing is official until it's official, man. And then if he does agree to the move, apparently the owners have to approve to that move.
Yeah.
They want this wild card Maverick in there that could basically prevent them from getting guys that they want to get. You know, who knows? Because look at the Knicks, man. The Knicks are horrible. And apparently Adam Silver, like his predecessor, David Stern, they're not going to do anything about the Knicks horrible. And Adam Silver basically told the fans he don't give a crap about the state of the Knicks, because other teams in the league are doing well. So
he shouldn't, because that's the Knicks. That's on the Knicks. That's not on the commissioner. You know, the commissioner can help you so much. I mean, it's the Knicks organization that should do to fix their damn organization. You know.
Well, apparently he's intervening in another horrible situation. I can't remember if it was the Nets or another team. I'd have to research what it is, but apparently he did intervene for another team that was horrible, and they've turned it around. It might have been the Nets, but I'm not 100% sure which team it is.
No. Okay.
But it is what it is, man.
Yeah, well,
Knicks are screwed, so.
Yeah, screw the Knicks.
That's what they've been doing for the past 20 years, man. Ever since Dolan took over.
Yeah, I don't plan on going to any Knicks games anytime soon. Right, Will? Wink, wink.
I'm with you, man.
But moving on from that. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Knicks, man. When you talk about the Knicks, you bring down the show. So let's move on.
Exactly. For the past 10 years, it's always been like that. Yeah. I'm sure we have footage of you actually saying the same exact thing, literally. You've literally said this. Probably in the pilot episode of Sports Urban Legend. But
we'll
digress.
All right. Well, stick with sports, but not the Knicks. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens quarterback, was having a phenomenal season. He's about to break Michael Vick's rushing record for a quarterback. And he's having an MVP season right now. I think they were playing the 49ers last week, or this past Sunday. And their 49ers broadcaster, Steve Ryan, he was on a morning radio show the following day. And, you know, he made what some people view as like a racist or offensive comment. You know, he said that the reason that Lamar is able to hide the ball so well is because, you know, the ball is the same color as his skin. So that kind of like deceives the opponents. And a lot of people were outraged after that. You know, they want him fired, call him a racist. But he thinks his comments were interpreted the wrong way. You know, so, but the 49ers didn't see it that way. They ended up suspending him. And who knows, maybe he might be even terminated. Who knows, but, I could see what I could see how I could see the point that he was trying to make, but he didn't say it in the right way, kind of, you know. Maybe he could have said, like, you know, the ball is the same color as their jerseys, because they have black jerseys. Then again, the ball is brown, so that could hide the ball a bit. Or maybe because of his complexion, you know, it does make the ball harder to see for the opponents to find, you know. But the way it came off was just, you know, racially insensitive, you know. So I do agree that, you know, with the 49ers suspending him, even though, you know, he didn't mean it that way. But these days, you know, we got a sensitive culture. You know, when you say something that you didn't mean to say, but it offends people, you're going to get in hot water. You're going to be in deep trouble for it. So he's got to watch his words next time, or word what he says correctly. But, yeah, that was the news in the football world about that. But this guy, Lamar Jackson, is phenomenal, man, having a great season. But let's see what they do in the playoffs, because if they play the Patriots, you know the Patriots going to whoop that ass.
Mhm. Like just like Mahomes last year.
Yeah. You know, well, Mahomes had a very good game last year. It's the damn defense of the forgetting their name now. The Chiefs. Mm-hmm. The defense just didn't stop the Patriots, but the Kansas City Chiefs ended up scoring when they wanted to in the second half. Chiefs almost won that damn game if that damn defender didn't mess up. You know, it was offside. So, but it'll be different this year. You know, the Lamar Jackson's not the thrower that Patrick Mahomes is. You know, he's more of a runner. You know, his feet is dangerous. You know, but I think Patriots will find a way to shut him down with some type of zone or spy. Some type of scheme, you know, Belichick.
Oh, you know.
Got that playbook ready. The playbook is like science encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm. I think you were going to say it's like science fiction. They got Baby Yoda.
It might be, who knows?
And I heard the sources is that they're teaming up with the Astros, the formulator, a plan to win.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, we can't put past Belichick to do it. He'll do anything to win, so.
Well, they've been accused of cheating in the past, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But, what else? There's Jason Derulo, the music artist, R&B
artist.
Was
it Haitian Flag Day?
Yeah,
Haitian
right?
Flag Day,
yeah.
In December?
I know, second Haitian to talk about to be on featured on the show.
It's like the Bray Wyatt thing. Family. The magic word of the week is family.
Yeah. So this Jason Derulo guy. You know, he made some news this past week because he did a shoot where he was in his underwear, and you know, of course, people we're talking about, you know, his penis print through his underwear. You know, the old eggplant trick where these guys, they pose in their shorts and they put socks or they get fully aroused before posing. You know, so Jason Derulo was fully aroused while taking this picture. And, you know, we got a lot of comments on Instagram and social media about it. And even got an offer from the porn website Cam Soda. And Cam Soda is like a popular, you know, video cam website. So they're offering him $500,000 to, do some semi-nude stuff on their website. But Derulo says they're going to have to offer more than that. So, yeah, this is Jason Derulo, man. Did the old eggplant trick, you know, stuffed his underwear with socks or got hard while he was posing nude so he could create a thirst trap for these girls on Instagram.
Well, apparently, according to, like, TMZ, He was saying, like, he criticized Haitian ancestry for that there's no, you know.
For what, for his big dick?
Yeah, apparently so, yeah.
Oh.
And he also was criticizing them Instagram because he said there's a bunch of girls showing their body on Instagram, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what Instagram is these days.
So he thinks it's double standard.
That's true. It is a double standard because you got all these chicks that want to be IG hoes, you know, posing, nude, semi-nude, showing their booties, you know, even got these younger broads doing it, you know. So, yeah, it is a double standard because girls do it all the time. And, you know, you don't hear much about it, but when a guy does it, you know, it's like big news. Oh, you can see his penis or he's semi-aroused, you know, shit like that.
Yeah, because people are looking. I wouldn't have known. Shoot.
Yeah. I don't get guys, but me, I don't get what the white guys, like, you know, want to do that or even show dick pics and stuff like that. Me, like, I think I'm well endowed, but shit. I don't show pics and stuff like that. If you want to know how big it is, come see me. You know? That's so it's all the girls out there only. Not all to you gay dudes. You know, so. But anyway, moving on from that, I heard that Snooki on the Jersey Shore, she's ready to quit Jersey Shore because she feels like she's being perceived in a negative way and she's not spending time with her family because she's filming the show and she's been getting death threats. So now she's decided she's just quitting. Yeah.
Why?
Because I guess, you know, she's her and the other girls have a issue with Angelina, one of the other girls on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like she's being a bully, kind of.
Really? Wow.
So now she's just leaving. I mean, these people are too old to be doing the show anyway now. I mean.
Yeah, I forgot that they're still doing it, because I know they came back, but I thought it was like a reunion for, like, a series finale thing, and then that was it. I didn't know it was like a real world challenge, you know, the real world road rules challenge thing where they just hang on. Like,
yeah, it's like an older version of them now, or older version series of them reunited. Like, remember what's happening now? You know, it's kind of like that now.
Hmm.
Like a version 2 of Jersey Shore now, with them older, how they have kids, some of them married, but they're still partying and gossiping and drinking and stuff. So.
And then they're gonna have Jersey Shore like. Another 10, 20 years when they're old. They're not old and they still don't so.
Have great hairs, yeah.
You'll be
and senior
home.
Citizen homes.
Yep.
Oh, man.
They'll be Jim Tan and Metamucil. Whatever they take.
Oh, man. You know, you haven't really watched the Jersey Shore, right? Have you gotten into it?
I haven't watched Jersey Shore since. Man, before they went off the first time, like when they went to Italy, like when they went to Italy the first time, I think that's the last time. That's the last time I saw them. I don't know if they went to Italy again. Maybe they have. I don't know.
Well, they had another season after that, you know, where they went back to Jersey. But yeah, I remember the Italy season, of course. Yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, and I do watch the reunion series now. You know, but, I mean, they're getting too old for this stuff, man. Just retire already.
I heard that they're thinking about getting Danny Glover and, you know, Mel Gibson to come on the show, too. But Danny Glover declined and said that he was getting too old for this.
Yeah, hang him up ready. You know, you see Sam, who used to date Ronnie on the show. She's not even part of Shona. She's, like, decided to separate herself.
Mm.
She's doing her own thing, and she's married now. Well, she's engaged, I think. Not married, but.
I know who's interested. I know who's interested basically going there.
Who?
Ron Artest, you know, because he could bring that street swag to it. Black. you read his quote about him coaching the Knicks. But
that's
the only big preference we're going to have.
Yeah. So that's another ridiculous story, but I know you'll talk about that on your show more. But let me give you guys the Fantasy football week 14 starts real quick because I didn't do it last week. Right now, fantasy football, I'm doing real good. I am number one in my league. I'm 10-3 in the Yahoo Public League. But this week I play another opponent who's also 10-3. So I'm the number one seed. He's the number two seed. So we're going to battle it out for the number one seed before the playoffs start next week. So the battle of top seeding here. But I'm going to give you the starts real quick. So at quarterback, I'm going to go with, let me see. This is going to be a tough one, but I'm going to go with, Jameis Winston at quarterback. They play the Indiana Colts. At running back, I'm going to go with Austin Eckler against the Jacksonville Jaguars. At wide receiver, I'll go with Alshon Jeffrey against the New York Giants. Sorry, my Giants. At tight end, I'm going to go with Jack Doyle against the Rays. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At defense, I am going with the Packers against the Redskins. And for kicker, I'm going to go with Young Ho Koo, an Asian kicker for the Falcons going up against the Carolina Panthers. Those are going to be my picks for week 14. With that said, Will, you have any last thoughts, words, anything else you want to contribute or say?
Sure, man. Thanks for having me on the show, as always. And, folks, check out my show in 4 minutes. My show, Sports and Legends, every Saturday at 11. Check it out. Talk about some of the topics that we talked about on this show right now. And, check out my YouTube show, Sports and Legends TV. All new episodes are coming up. And, of course, always check out iMac every Saturdays at 10 p.m. only on Block Talk Radio.
All right, well, thank you for that. Check out his show, Sports of Religion, here shortly. Come back here, check out iMac every Saturdays at 10. So for me and Will, we will see you next week. Peace out.